I'd like you to turn now in your Bibles to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, we've been looking at verses 16, 17, and 18. In Galatians chapter 5, and last week and this week, really zeroing in on that 17th verse in Galatians 5. We really have been talking about what it means to walk by the Spirit. And this is a terribly important concept that is very much misunderstood. I think sometimes when individuals think about walking by the Spirit, they think about entering the twilight zone. It's that kind of a context that we really enter into or think about when we talk about walking by the Spirit. It's something eerie or ethereal or something like that. And that's not the case at all. It means, if we really walk by the Spirit, it means that, first of all, you are born again of the Spirit of God. You've been given a new heart. It means that you have repented of all known sin and that you turn from it. It means that you trust in Jesus Christ as the only adequate payment for your sin and you trust in Him for your salvation. And it means that because you have been given a new heart by the living God, you are able to hear God's voice. And having been given this tremendous ability by God, at the same time, God gives you His Spirit-inspired Word. So that when you read this Word, you understand it and you hear in it the voice of the living God. And so walking by the Spirit really means following this Spirit-given Word by the power of the Holy Spirit which has been given to you. And of course, if you're not a Christian, you don't have the Holy Spirit. And it's not possible for you to walk by the Spirit. You need to come to Christ, first of all. And you need to have the Holy Spirit living in you. But the question again comes, what happens when someone who professes faith in Jesus Christ deserts the gospel and the way of the Spirit? Well, I believe that Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17 tells us exactly what happens. Look at that text again. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. You see, the problem right away that comes to the fore in Galatians 5:17 is the problem of the flesh and the desire of the flesh. And you know as well as I do that the flesh does have certain appetites, certain desires, certain lusts. And that's why the King James Version says that the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. These appetites, these desires, these lusts, if you will, must be bridled by the Holy Spirit. And that's one of the tremendous works of the Spirit of God. Bridling, holding back, tempering these desires of the flesh. But when these attitudes and appetites are not tempered, what happens? This desire, this innate desire of the flesh breaks out in the deeds of the flesh then. Verses 19 and following. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. What we're talking about here is a life and death matter. Those who work out in their lives the desire of the flesh, in these deeds of the flesh, will not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, sometimes I think these deeds of the flesh are just winked at. We just kind of wink at them as though, oh, it's no big problem, you know. Got this problem in my life, but it's not a big problem. Paul says, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so we are not to work out to completion or fulfill the desires of the flesh, as verse 16 says, but walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Just the opposite is to take place in the life of the Christian. The Christian is to work out the desire of the Spirit. You as a Christian are to work out the desire of the Spirit in your life. Just go back in your Bible or forward in your Bible to Philippians chapter 2 and verses in Philippians 2 verses 12 and 13. We've looked at those verses in some detail, but I want you to make the comparison here. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. You see, you are not to work out the desire of the flesh in the deeds of the flesh. You are to work out the desire of the Spirit. And when you work out your salvation, the desire of the Spirit, what is going to happen? The fruit of the Spirit will come forth. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, meekness, gentleness, self-control. All of this fruit of the Spirit will come forth if you work out the desire of the Spirit. And that's exactly what Paul is after here. This is what it means to walk by the Spirit, you see. I think that's why the comparison needs to be made. And the wonderful thing here for the Christian, once again, is that God is at work within you. This is another concept which I think we rather trip over lightly and don't think too much about. But I want to tell you, folks, that when we get a hold of the fact that the Creator of the universe, by the power of the resurrection, is working in the life of the believer, things have got to be different. They really do. This is not a concept that you can easily move over and say, oh, ho-hum about. It really isn't. And so the fact of the matter is, you work and I work because God is at work. You know what the danger is? The danger is that I forget and you forget that the basis of our working is the work of God. That you work and strive because God works. Isn't this what I've already said about walking in the Spirit? We've talked about this in the last couple of weeks and zeroed in on it. To walk by the Spirit means that you have received the Holy Spirit of the living God in your life. And because you have received the Holy Spirit of the living God in your life, you can understand the Word of God. And when God gives you direction in His Word, those directions are not burdensome. As John says,
You follow those directions. And that's what it means to walk by the Spirit. You work because God works. Because God works, you work. And the danger, again, is that you forget. That you forget that you work because God works. In Galatians again. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 3. This was the Galatian problem. Galatians 3:3. Are you so foolish, Paul says to the Galatians, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? You see, these people began by the Spirit. They were given new hearts by the living God. They saw Christ as their Savior and their Lord. And having begun by the Spirit, it was incumbent upon them to understand the power of the Holy Spirit at work in their lives, empowering them to work out their salvation. They were to work because God was at work. But now, they were forgetting this important fact. And the Galatians thought to themselves, and I really think this is the case, the Galatians thought to themselves, now, God did His work. God did His work. Christ died on the cross. God gave me a new heart. I've been able to believe in Jesus Christ. God has done His work. Now it's my turn. Now it's my turn. I'll do my part. I'll take over now. It's okay, God. You've done your work. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot. I'm going to do my thing now. I'm going to do my part now. And the very thought of this is a turning back away from the gospel of Jesus Christ to the flesh. You see, what is it to walk in the Spirit? It's to understand that our lives are dependent totally upon the work of God. That He gives us the Spirit, and that He gives us His Word, and it is incumbent upon us to follow that Word. And when we turn back from that very basic principle, we turn back away from the gospel. We're deserters. Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit? Are you now being perfected by the flesh? It never worked that way. Did you suffer so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain, does He then who provides you with the Spirit and work miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? You see, when we believe the gospel and what God has done for us, that's the foundation for our living. And to turn back away from that principle is to turn away from the gospel, is to be a deserter. The answer is to walk by the Spirit, you see, to remember what God has done. That's the answer. Now, here's the question again. What happens when you forget? When you retreat? When you rely on the flesh?
Galatians 5:17. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. When the Christian draws back, defects, as it were, from the gospel, and turns to the flesh, there is bound to be conflict. Because here's what's happening. You are turning away from the power of God. The gospel is the power of God to salvation. And what you're doing is turning away from the life-transforming power of God to the power of the flesh. And you know as well as I do that when you do that, you have retreated from the gospel. Conflict is bound to erupt in your heart, and there is inevitable defeat. This is exactly what Paul tells us. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. All of a sudden, there you are. And you want to go in one direction, the direction of the flesh, and the Spirit is screaming no. And the guilt comes. And then you want to go in the other direction. But because you have retreated from the gospel, the power of the flesh clings so strongly. But there you are. There is conflict. These two are in opposition to one another. They're antagonistic to one another. And you're stuck. I want to tell you about a fellow who I know, who I've worked with some, who is under the care of a psychiatrist now for depression. And I sat with him as he cried and said something like this: I don't know what God is doing. I really believe that the basic problem was and is a retreat from the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and such a conflict has now arisen within this individual that he is stuck and he doesn't understand, and he can't do what he wants to do. That's the case. You know, this can be devastating. It really can. I'd like you to turn back in your Bibles now to Judges chapter 2, to the example of Israel. Judges chapter 2. Let's start with verse 6 in Judges 2. Judges 2:6. When Joshua had dismissed the people, the sons of Israel went each to his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua, who had seen all the great work that the Lord which he had done for Israel. Then Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. And they buried him in the territory of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gaash. And all the generations also who gathered to their fathers, and all that generation also were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, nor yet the work which he had done for Israel. Now stop right there just for a minute. Why did a generation arise who did not know the Lord? A generation arose who did not know the Lord because the previous generation backed away from the Lord and did not teach their children the things of God. That very same thing could happen right here. If we back off from the Lord and do not teach our children the things of God, a generation will arise who does not know the Lord. You see already how devastating it can be to back off the things of God. Look at verse 11. Then the sons of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals, and they forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were around them, and bowed themselves down to them. Thus they provoked the anger of the Lord. So they forsook the Lord and served Baal and the Ashtaroth. How often this happened among the Israelites. God was pleased to send a judge, and the people came back to the Lord. And then they forsook the Lord. They backed off from God. And God would send another judge, and the people would come back to the Lord and serve the Lord. But look at verse 14 now. And the anger of the Lord burned against Israel, and he gave them into the hands of plunderers who plundered them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies around them, so they could no longer stand before their enemies. They could not do what they wanted to do. They could not stand before their enemies. They backed off away from the Lord. And what happened when they backed off away from the Lord? There was conflict. There was war. Yeah, God brought that war. Kind of interesting. But I want you to catch this. There was conflict and there was war, and the outcome was, in the case of the Israelites, the end of verse 14, so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. When they backed off away from the things of God, there was conflict, and then there was defeat. Let's go back to Galatians 5:17. Galatians 5:17 says, "For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please." You see, it's exactly the same pattern. Why is it so important for you and for me to walk by the Spirit, to understand the principle that God has placed His Holy Spirit in us, that God has given us His Word to follow, that this is walking in the Spirit? Why is it so important? Because when we back off from that, the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these two are in mortal combat with each other, and we will not be able to do the things that we please. That's why it's so important. There will be conflict, and defeat will come. Now I want you to understand something here, and I really believe this is the case, that the Apostle Paul is giving us some real important advice, personal advice. He's giving us some discernment here, and we need to pick it up. And I ask you, as I did last week in this connection, a very simple question. Is what Paul outlines in Galatians 5:17 normative Christianity? No. But our problem is this, that we so readily back off of the truth of the gospel that we think this kind of conflict and ultimate defeat is normative for the Christian life. We believe this is the way it ought to be because we find ourselves in this situation so much. I guess that's the thing that concerns me. Is Christianity a road which we travel, along which the Philistines are gathered in such abundance that we will never make it to the end of that road? No, I don't think that's the case. I don't think that's the case at all. You see, the problem is we have backed off from the power of the gospel. And here's the point of discernment. That if this conflict is present right now in your life, this kind of conflict in which there is defeat. Now, I'm not talking about the fact that the Christian life is a struggle, that we need to battle against the flesh, that we're in a warfare, that we need to discipline ourselves. We've talked about that. I'm talking about the case in which you are in a conflict and you find that the result of that conflict is defeat. The point of discernment is this, that if that this is the case within your life, you have backed off, you have retreated from, you have defected from the gospel. That's the point of discernment. You need to repent, and you need to turn around, and you need to understand the truth of the gospel, and pick up and work out your salvation with fear and trembling because God is at work within you. Something else. I think many times what happens in these kinds of situations is this, that the conflict comes, and rather than admitting the fact that we have backed off from the gospel, we back off further. That's our solution to the conflict. We back off further. We back out of involvement with the church. We back out of involvement with Christian people. That's the way we get out of this conflict. That's not good. Not good at all. It ought to be just the reverse. I really believe that when we see the kind of thing that Paul is telling us here, and we grasp the point of discernment and understand, hey, maybe my problem really is that I've backed off from
the power of the gospel and an understanding of the gospel and what God has done. And we admit that. We repent of it. We turn around. We see the solution. I think that's the case. Because the solution is not backing off further. The solution is given in verse 16 of Galatians 5. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, help me understand this lesson. Work it out in me. Work it out in each one of us, Lord. And I pray, Father, that through it, we will learn the lesson of what it means to walk by the Spirit. Help us in this, we ask, in the name of Jesus. Amen.